brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today we look ahead, as we always do, to the readings for this Sunday, which will be the 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time. But there's nothing ordinary, is there, about God? I know I've used that expression a number of times on this program, but it's like it hits me fresh every time. There's nothing ordinary about being in a relationship with God, about being a true Christian, a true follower of Christ. Magnificat magazine, once again, has given us a very good introduction to the readings for this Sunday. Let me just read a little portion here. Pope Benedict XVI made the point that the essence of faith, and we've been talking about faith a lot this week, the essence of faith is that something meets us that is greater than anything we can think up for ourselves. Faith is that something meets us that is greater than anything we can think of for ourselves. That is literally, he says, what happens to the disciples as they see Jesus walking on the water. We're going to read about that. Jesus summons them to faith, a way of approaching reality that entails leaving behind our old way of measuring things and seeing all according to this something greater than ourselves. If we're going to grow in faith, we have to take on, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to give us a way of approaching reality that entails leaving behind our old way of measuring things and beginning to see things with new eyes, new mind, new heart. We should not be surprised that Christ often will come in ways that we least expect, as Elijah found in that tiny whispering sound. And when such faith takes hold of us, we want everyone we know to share in it, as St. Paul will tell us today. So that's an introduction. Let's start with the first book of Kings, chapter 19, verse 9, and then verses 11 to 13. At the mountain of God, Horeb, Elijah came to a cave where he took shelter. And then the Lord said to him, "Go outside, stand on the mountain before the Lord. The Lord will be passing by." A strong and heavy wind was rending the mountains and crushing rocks before the Lord. What a powerful spectacle that would be. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, Elijah sees an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was fire. The Lord was not in the fire. All the things that would grab your attention, all the things that would make you very, very alert, a strong and a heavy wind, an earthquake, and fire. But then, this first book of Kings tells us, chapter 19, tells us, after the fire, there was a tiny whispering sound. So there'd been all this noise and confusion and power being seen. But he was not in those. God was not present in those. But there was a tiny whispering sound. And when he heard this, Elijah hid his face in his cloak and went and stood at the entrance of the cave. So often, brothers and sisters, God reveals himself to us. God comes to us in that tiny whispering sound. There's just something that alerts you. But if you have no expectation, you don't experience it. We've filled our lives with so much noise that it oftentimes blocks out the Savior, not because it's more powerful than the Savior, but it blocks out our even desire to listen for the Lord. We're so caught up and hooked up and attached to so many devices that bring us the, quote, news, that we totally miss the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we miss his presence, that small, still voice that speaks to us in the depths of our hearts. We miss it. And I don't mean you just get quiet, okay, just be quiet for 15 minutes, I want to hear God. No, it's not that. It's beginning to cultivate in yourself an attentiveness to, Lord, do you want to say anything to me? Lord, do you want to give me any direction? Fill yourself with the scriptures. Receive the Eucharist as often as you can. Cultivate your life as a place of prayer, as a place in which God can be worshipped because you're attentive to him. God can do that. And you can be fully present to all your responsibilities in this life. God can do that in us. But we have to give God time. We have to discipline ourselves so we learn to hear that whisper, which often comes as just a thought, and you think, wow, why did I think that? I've never thought that before. Test it out. It might just be a new thought, but it might be an inspiration from the Holy Spirit. Listen. After the fire, there was a tiny whispering sound. And when he heard this, Elijah hid his face in his cloak and went and stood at the entrance of the cave. God will not shout louder so you can hear him. He waits for you to come to quiet your soul, to quiet your mind and heart, and listen. Psalm 85, Lord, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation. We need to spend time with him that we might know him, know his kindness, know his saving grace. That's what God wants to do. But he gave you free will, and he gave me free will. It's up to us what we choose to do with it. But we are fools if we don't have God at the center of our lives. We're honestly fools. And you can change it in a moment by saying, Jesus Christ, live within me. Praise the Father through me. Teach me the way you want me to go. I am your servant. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. Willingly will I follow you. Willingly will I do what you ask of me. Lead me. You might not hear anything for 6 months, but you stay faithful to God, giving him time daily in prayer, seeking to know him. And when he sees you at a particular point that he can start using you to bring others to him, you'll get inspirations. You have to test them out with other people. Don't just go off, oh, well, God told me this. You need to have it confirmed that it's God. Speak to your spiritual director. Speak to your pastor. But embark on this journey. Follow him. He has so much of himself to give us. St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 9, verses 1 to 5. Brothers and sisters, I speak the truth in Christ. I do not lie. My conscience joins with the Holy Spirit in bearing me witness that I have great sorrow and constant anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites. There's the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. There's the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Paul's saying to the Romans, I speak the truth in Christ, and you don't hear me. And so I have great sorrow and constant anguish in my heart. I would even willingly cast myself out of the family of God, which of course he wouldn't, but he's saying, I'd willingly give up my greatest treasure that you might know him, that you might love him as I do, and that you might seek to follow him. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 to 33, After he had fed the people, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. And during the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, I can understand from a human perspective why I might doubt if I get out of the boat and I start walking on the water, and then I really take my eyes just 1 second and look around me and I see the incredible storm I'm in the midst of it. No man could survive it. And so I begin to sink. Now, isn't that true spiritually too? "Lord, I will follow you." And then this happens or that happens. And where is God? Does God care? Why didn't God do this? If God was really God, why didn't he do that? This is, brothers and sisters, is the test of faith. Am I going to believe that God is a loving God who loves me and who will see me through every difficult circumstance? Do I believe that he loves me and that what he allows to happen is for my good even when I can't see it? Do I believe those things? Do I have faith in him? Or does his love need to be proven to me at every moment? Brothers and sisters, God has proved in many ways that he loves us. Many of us know that. But it's so easy to fall back, to start looking at the circumstances and, like Peter, start to sink. Reach out for the Lord and say, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." And he will. Every time he will save us. It's challenging times for us. And I see the struggles. And I see the heavy crosses that people are carrying. And I don't doubt that they are fearful. I don't doubt that at all. And that doesn't mean that they don't have faith. But it's hard. But if you cling to him, no matter what, in whatever circumstances, cling to him, he will see you through and your faith will grow and you'll bring many others to him. God bless you. For a free copy of my latest booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings, please call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.